Well, good morning and welcome to this Palm Sunday in our liturgical year, April 5th, 2020. I'd like to introduce our service briefly with a bit of an understatement and just saying that this is an odd way to do Palm Sunday. I've never done Palm Sunday like this before in my whole life. And so the service is unique. For one thing, the liturgy of the palms is not associated with morning prayer. So there's some unique things about doing it that way. I think above all else, the strangest thing is that we're not physically together. Palm Sunday is a Sunday that involves a lot of physical movement and a procession in from the outside of the church with the liturgy of the palms. And so we'll do the best that we can this morning to still worship God as we're isolated from one another. I do ask that you do participate with the bolded sections of the gospel reading, the passion narrative that we'll read from after we finish the Liturgy of the Palms. It's really significant that we shout that we would like Barabbas to be freed instead of Christ and that we would crucify Christ, and we'll talk about that later, but that's a significant moment in the church year. With all that said, let's turn to God in prayer. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Dear brothers and sisters, from the beginning of Lent until now, we have been preparing our hearts by repentance and self-sacrifice. Today, with the whole church, we herald the beginning of the celebration of the Paschal mystery. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem and was welcomed as King with palms and shouts of praise. Today, we greet him as our King, though we know his crown was a crown of thorns and his throne a cross. Therefore, I invite you to follow our Lord this holy week from his triumphal entry through his suffering and death to the glory of his resurrection. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts, whereby you have given us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. We praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was hailed as king by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Sanctify those branches with your blessing, we humbly pray, that they may be for us signs of his victory. Grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And now we transition to our morning prayer liturgy as we humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
O come, let us adore him.
We'll say in unison the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the depths of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that err in their hearts, for they have not known my ways, of whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. Our psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 22. We'll say it together in unison. My God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my cry and from the words of my complaint? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. In the night season also, but I find no rest. But you remain holy, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our fathers hoped in you, they trusted in you, and you delivered them. They called upon you and were delivered. They put their trust in you and were not confounded. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and the outcast of the people. All those who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and shake their heads, saying, "He trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he will have him." But you are he that took me out of my mother's womb. You were my hope when I was yet upon my mother's breasts. I have been cast upon you ever since I was born. You are my God, even from my mother's womb. Oh, go not far from me, for trouble is near at hand, and there is none to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In unison, we'll say the Te Deum Laudamus. We praise you, O God. We acclaim you as Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all praise, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you took our flesh to set us free, you humbly chose the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Save your people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern and uphold them now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us your love and mercy, for we have put our trust in you. In you, Lord, is our hope. Let us never be put to shame.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In unison, we'll say the Benedictus est Domine. Glory to you, Lord God of our fathers. You are worthy of praise. Glory to you. Glory to you for the radiance of your holy name. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever. Glory to you in the splendor of your temple. On the throne of your majesty, glory to you. Glory to you seated between the cherubim. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever. Glory to you, beholding the depths in the high vault of heaven. Glory to you. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, Jesus threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray, that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed.
My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Again, Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given the crowd a sign, saying,
The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him.
At once Judas came up to Jesus and said,
Greetings, Rabbi,
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
Friend, do what you are here to do.
Then the crowd came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place, so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, Peter sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said,
This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.
The high priest stood up and said to Jesus,
Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to Jesus,
I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him,
You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?
The scribes and elders answered,
He deserves death.
Then they spat in Jesus' face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
You also were with Jesus the Galilean.
But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. When Peter went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
Again, Peter denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you.
Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath, I do not know the man. At that moment the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Judas said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
But the chief priests and elders said,
"What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, Judas departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one of whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to the crowd,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests and the elders had handed Jesus over. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And the crowd said,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate asked,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But the crowd shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves."
Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They spat on Jesus and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, the soldiers came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry Jesus' cross.
Amen.
And when the soldiers came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over Jesus' head, they put the charge against him, which read,
"This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Then two bandits were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking Jesus, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if God wants to. For this man said, 'I am God's son.'"
The bandits who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?"
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Joseph then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive."
"He said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'"
"Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, Jesus' disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people,
'He has risen from the dead.'"
"And the last deception would be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's truly strange and heartbreaking to be unable to celebrate Palm Sunday as we usually do, with our procession together into the church, singing, "All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King." It's a high point in the church year, and it's a tradition with a long history. We have record of a Spanish woman who went on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem in the mid-300s, who recorded in her travel diary the way that Christians in Jerusalem celebrated this last Sunday in Lent, with a procession of palms and readings from the gospel accounts of the triumphal entry, in the very places where the first Christians in Jerusalem would have witnessed these events. So in theory, Palm Sunday processions are the way Christians have always recognized this Sunday in Jerusalem and now throughout the world. If it feels like we just read through the readings for two liturgies, it's because we did. In modern times, the reading of the Passion of the Christ was added to the Palm Sunday Liturgy of the Palms because Christians became really bad at actually going to Good Friday services. I know it's crazy to remember of a time when people came to church, and I don't just mean before coronavirus, when people didn't have a good reason not to be here. But back in the days of the parish church system, people would come on Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, so they wouldn't skip over any of the key portions of the story of Christ's death and resurrection. In response, in modern times, the lectionary crammed in the account of Christ's passion along with the Liturgy of the Palms, knowing that many won't come to Good Friday services, but should hear the account of Jesus' death before hearing the account of his resurrection. Now, celebrating Palm Sunday in this unusual way has always left me feeling some whiplash. Weren't we just singing hosannas to Jesus, and now we're shouting, "Crucify him"? It didn't even take us 15 minutes to go from praising Jesus to killing Jesus. What is going on? While doing Palm Sunday like this is a recent change, there's something really helpful about feeling this whiplash from our readings. I'm reminded of the humanitarian missions the United States made to Somalia in the mid-1990s, which are depicted in the film Black Hawk Down. When the troops first show up with food and water and medicine, they're greeted as heroes and saviors by the crowd. But not long after, their helicopter is shot down by militants in the citizenry. How does that happen? Biblical scholars have spilled ink over the question of how we go from praising Jesus to killing Jesus so quickly for years. Some scholars have even concluded that the gospel accounts of the triumphal entry and the crucifixion of Jesus cannot possibly be true or be historically accurate because the change in the attitude of the crowd towards Jesus is so impossibly sudden. Others who want to defend the gospel accounts against this claim have theorized that the different stories talk about two completely different crowds in two completely different parts of the city of Jerusalem, one with the common people who celebrate Jesus and one with the leaders of the Jews and the Romans who kill him. What both sides of this debate miss, what's really at the heart of this question, are people really capable of behaving like this towards Christ of all people? Well, as Christians, we say, yes, absolutely. Yes, we are absolutely capable of praising Christ at one moment and crucifying him in the very next. Not only are people in the abstract, distant sense capable of this, but you and I, all of us are capable of doing this. That's why it's so crucial that we all shout, "Crucify him," this one time a year on this Sunday, that we all choose to release Barabbas, a thief, a murderer, instead of Jesus, the Son of God, on this Sunday. Christ's crucifixion was not the fault of the Jews, as we've often said, leading to horrific crimes against them, was not the fault of the Romans, who for whatever reason are always off the hook for the crucifixion anyways. It is because all of humanity has turned away from God that Christ goes to the cross. When we shout, "Crucify him," we are confessing with our lips what is already true in our lives. Our own sin and death mean that Christ must hang on the cross. I can remember being part of a passion play as a child where we would act out the different parts of the crucifixion on Palm Sunday. For whatever reason, I was always picked to be a Roman guard instead of Jesus, driving the nails into Christ's hands. My friends and I would awkwardly giggle at each other while we pretended to drive nails into one of our friend's hands. I don't think we were laughing just because we were immature, even though we definitely were. I think we were laughing because deep down we knew how strange it was to pretend to kill Jesus, the Son of God. Well, on Palm Sunday, we embraced that strangeness. We drove Christ to the cross, who greeted him with hosannas. We are guilty of the murder of the perfect God-man, delivered to death through a miscarriage of justice by human beings, yet on their behalf. Even embracing this strange story of Palm Sunday leaves us with many questions. But the most pressing question raised by Christ's death on the cross today for us is this: is God really in control of terrible situations? This question is particularly poignant today, not only because of what is happening around us in the world, but because of what's just happened liturgically. The events we have just read and acted through mark the lowest point in human history. We killed God. We did not kill any God, but a God who loves us. Not because God did anything wrong, but as a result of a mistrial. Humanity's absolute worst is on full display in the crucifixion. But where is God? Is he even in control? To begin to answer this question, we can speak of what the passion of the Christ really means. We often hear of the passion story and think that passion refers to the great emotional toil of Christ on the cross, of the pain and the agony that Christ endured when he hung there for hours until his death. While it is true that Christ's death was emotionally terrible for him, it was agonizing for him and for those who love him, this passion in the passion of the Christ refers to something else, something more like the way we use the word passive. If I told an ancient person from the time of Christ that I was passionate about baseball, they would tell me I have a problem because I've let myself become completely overcome by a game and I've lost myself in it. They would be correct. If you told them you had a passion for food, they would not think, well, then you should become a chef, but rather, you're admitting to being a glutton. If you said you had a passion for wine, they would think you're admitting to being an alcoholic. To have a passion is to be overcome by something to the point where you lose yourself in it. So to say the passion of the Christ, then, is to say that Christ's trial and crucifixion are events that Christ allows to take place, that Christ allows to overcome him, that Christ permits to happen to him for our sake, for the sake of the ones who crucify him. That this is the case is emphasized in the ironic scenes that take place over and over again in the course of what we've read from this morning. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is put on trial before a middle manager in the Roman Empire, a governor named Pontius Pilate. It's Jesus' own people who send him to death instead of a man named Jesus Barabbas, who is actually guilty of the crime that Jesus is on trial for, resisting the Roman Empire and challenging Caesar. Ironically, Barabbas' very name is a combination of the Jewish words Bar Abba, meaning son of the father. So even his name is Jesus, son of the father. Yet the actual son of the father, accused of conspiring to overthrow Caesar, is sent to be crucified by his own people, who decide that the real son of God should be crucified instead of this imposter. Finally, these same people ask, without any knowledge of what they're asking for, that his blood be on them and their children. The highly exalted one is mockingly lifted up in false royal attire and killed with a sign hanging over his head, Jesus, King of the Jews. Most of Jesus' own closest followers, all of the men basically, cannot make sense of what has just happened, and so they abandon him. Finally, at the climax of his passion on the cross, it seems that God himself abandons Christ Jesus as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How do we make sense of all of this? There's only one way: by seeing that God allows this to happen to himself, that Christ is permitting his own crucifixion to take place. The Lamb of God gives his blood as a gift to his own people. He is both executioner and the executed one, both the victim and the priest. And so this question the lowest moment in human history raises, where is God, is answered on the cross, where we see Christ hanging for our sake in complete control. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, show your mercy upon us,
and grant us your salvation.
O Lord, guide those who govern us,
and lead us in the way of justice and truth.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness,
and let your people sing with joy.
O Lord, save your people,
and bless your inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And defend us by your mighty power.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
For the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love for us, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and come to share in his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O God, our King, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week you conquered sin, put death to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory. Forgive our sins. Banish our fears. Make us bold to praise you and to do your will. And steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Look mercifully, O Father, on our infirmities, and for the glory of your name, rescue us from all those evils we now endure, and grant that in all our troubles we may put our whole trust and confidence in your mercy, serving you in holiness and purity of life, to your honor and glory, through our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This point in the recording, you may pause it to offer your own private intercessions, prayers of thanksgiving to God, either silently or aloud. And when you're finished, please continue with the recording. Let us now say together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised to your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, again, such a strange Sunday, this Palm Sunday. I realized halfway through the blessing of the palms that we don't have any palms to bless, but we just always do it, so it seems appropriate to continue to pray that way. Well, this coming week is Holy Week, and we are offering services that we'll be sending to you for Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, as well as Easter Sunday. The Maundy Thursday service will be the liturgy that we usually use without the foot washing liturgy and the Eucharistic liturgy. It'll be sent to you with a meditation from Tim Smith. For Good Friday, we will have our seven last words service with links to meditations and music sent to you. And on Easter Sunday, we'll continue our morning prayer for Easter Sunday. Well, we continue to pray for the state of the world and our country, for people who are sick with all manners of infirmities, not just the coronavirus, but especially the coronavirus. We pray for doctors, for leaders. We just pray for God's intervention in this situation. We pray for those who are going hungry, for those who are vulnerable economically. We pray for those who are lonely as well. I could go on. I hope you're offering your own prayers to God right now. And I pray that we would be together again, especially soon. In Christ's name, amen.